是you lift up your hands. Shut up. Biyanu keleya, biyanu keleya, biyanu keleya, ezara. Biyanu keleya, biyanu keleya. Biyanu keleya, ezara, ezara. Biyanu keleya, biyanu.
That man.
Your hands up. ndị ma ozi ebe n'igwe ha na-asị halelu, ha na-asị halelu. Jehova meriwo, o meriwo, ndị ma ozi ebe n'igwe ha na-asị cannot pay you enough for all the things you do for us, the testimonies we hear, miracles, signs, wonders. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for giving us the privilege of association and closeness and nearness. Father, let not one person leave you the same way. Thank you, Master. Lift your hands high. Whisper that name, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverances. Thank you for the touch of your power. I see God untying people, just untying people, undoing the heavy burdens and yokes. Pressures are being lifted. Burdens are being lifted. Yokes are being broken. Father, thank you, Master, for your faithfulness, for your faithfulness, for your faithfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that which you are doing in the midst of your people. Thank you, because no one person will leave you the same. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord a big clap and a big shout of praise as you take your seat. Because burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is the Redeemer. If your body suffers pain, then your health you can't regain, and your hope is almost sinking in the sand. Jesus knows the way you feel. He can help and he can save. Take your bodies to the Lord. Hey, Ashimalaya, and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your hope is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the way you feel. He can help and he can save.
Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Thank you for burdens being lifted, yokes being broken, satanic agenda being reversed. Thank you, Master. Help them in there.
Give the Lord a praise. Check your seat. I believe things have happened, and we may get to hear them at the end of the service.
Take your burdens to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord.
Second Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long sufferings and doctrine. Preach the word, instant in season, out of season. I speak quickly on the subject, the preparation of the soul winner. The preparation of the soul winner. Objective is to understand preparations for successful evangelism. What is it that makes a person ready to be a soul winner? Last Sunday we saw the necessity for soul winning. If you are not in the service, it's important you pick that message. I'll say two things by way of introduction. And the first one says, soul winning or evangelism is every believer's calling. Every believer. Every believer. Going to all the world, Matthew 28 verse 18. And preach. And Jesus came on and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the, therefore and teach all nations. It's actually preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Matthew 28 verse 18 all the way to verse 20. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Somebody say aloud, amen. It is every believer's calling. Every believer is not called to be an evangelist, but every believer is called to evangelize. There is the separate calling of the evangelist, just like there is a separate calling of the pastor, a calling for the teacher, a calling for the apostle, a calling for the prophet. There is that separate calling. But everyone is called to evangelize. What's the difference? Every parent is duty bound to teach their children. But not every father or mother is a teacher by career. Is that coming? Am I communicating? It's not, you are not going to teach your child and you say, oh, there is already a teacher in school to teach the child. That is calculation for disaster. You teach your child at home. You teach them morals. You teach them character. You even sit down with them and do homework with them many times. I do that with my children as well. But not every parent is a career teacher. In the same manner, there are evangelists. That does not eliminate the place of every believer's duty to evangelize. In the same manner, there are those who are called to be caterers and whose duty is to be caterers and restaurant operators. That does not mean you shouldn't cook food in your house, because there are people who cook on the street. Otherwise, the whole world will just end just suddenly. That's how it is. Every believer is called to evangelize. Please bear that in mind. Whether you are a choir member, whether you are a counselor, an usher, a deacon, a pastor, there is the calling to evangelize. Number two, good performance is a product of good preparation. If we are going to perform well at the place of evangelism or any other thing we do in life, good performance is the product of good preparation. Good performance is the product of good preparation. It is said, I said, powerful preparation prevents poor performance. Powerful preparation is what prevents poor performance. Whether it is in the exam hall in school or in the vocation, whatever is your career for living, powerful preparation prevents poor performance. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, it says, study, do all you can to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Do all you can to ensure that you behave well.
Having said that, therefore, what prepares a person for the job of a soul winner? What prepares a Christian for the duty of soul winning, for the responsibility of soul winning? Number one is passion for God. Passion for God. Love for God is a fuel for aggressive evangelism. Why is that so? First, 1A, love, to love God is to keep his commandments. Whenever you love God, you want to keep his commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, all the way to verse 6. He said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am jealous God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. How do I know they love me? They keep my commandments. They keep my commandments. They love me, so they keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 10 connects love for God and keeping commandments. He said, God is showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 1. That one is very, very direct. It says, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Now you go to the New Testament and you see the same thing there in John chapter 14 and in verse 15. John chapter 14 verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then 1 John chapter 5 verse 2 and verse 3. I am rushing with a lot of scriptures because we have so much to deal with tonight. You say, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. How do you prove that you love God? That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. We keep his commandment. What is this commandment? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. How do I know that my wife loves me, or my children love me, or whoever? They do the things I said, do this, for this is correct to do. We love God. To love God is to keep his commandments. Number two, to love God is to take care of his concerns. Whenever we love God, you attend to what bothers God. You take care of his concerns. He said to Peter in John chapter 21 verse 15 all the way to verse 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Attend to my flock. Attend to my sheep. Attend to those I died for. You see, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Bible speaking said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Last Sunday we saw that soul winning, the soul of people, is the heartbeat of God. So love for God is to take care of his concerns. Number three, to love God, or C, to love God is to do that which gives him pleasure. You do what gives him pleasure. You do the things that will make him happy. What is it that gives him pleasure? In Luke chapter 15 and in verse 8, 7 and 8. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented. Over one sinner that repented. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Joy in heaven. You give God pleasure. That was why he said in Mark chapter 1 verse 11 to his son Jesus Christ, there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? are you my beloved son? Because you are the one who has decided that you will give your life for the world. You are giving your life for the world so they can be saved. So in you, I am pleased. Luke chapter 3 and in verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven. We said, thou art my beloved son. In thee I am well pleased. Do that which gives God pleasure. After a very major program involving impacting people in altar calls, people are saved, and all manner of things had happened. And I went before God one day, and I said to him, I said, Lord, thank you for so much help. You helped us so much in this program. Thank you. I'm very grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God said, he's appreciative of me to say, thank you too for being available. I can't forget what I heard that day. You are appreciating me. I am appreciating you for being available, for making yourself available, and for the sacrifices and anything that you put forth into this program. You know, God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Well done. You did well. God can say that. So, how do you prove that you love God? By keeping his commandments. By taking care of what concerns him. By giving him pleasure. Do that which gives him pleasure. So your number one preparation is passion for God. Everyone who is a rugged evangelist who knows how to win souls is passionate for God. Number two is love for souls. Or love for people. What prepares a person to be a soul winner? Love for people. Love for souls. Like we said last Sunday, everybody you see is not saved is going to hell. Except they are intercepted. Except they are intercepted. The vision that changed Maurice Cerullo's life at the age of 14. He said he saw a troop of people. The whole world, I see the whole world lined up. People were singing, dancing, making merry. And they were just going broad highway. Everybody was just, well, how are you doing? How is everything? Just chilling out and just doing all that until they came to the edge of a big cliff. Without notice, they were sinking down straight into hell. Just sinking down at the end of the road. In their numbers, in thousands. And he said, oh God, what is this? What is this? What is going on? And the answer was that is how humanity is galloping into a godless eternity at an alarming rate. Alarming rate. Every single day, they are just galloping into a godless hell, an eternal hell. Is God speaking to somebody here? Love for people, love for souls, made God to send his son to come and die. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love for souls made God. You can note that down. As a first point under number two, love for people made God to send his only begotten son to die for the world. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 also said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He spared not his son. Love for souls made God to give his son to die. Second thing to note is that love for people made Jesus to lay down his life for the world. It's one thing for the Father to send him. It's another thing for him to agree to come. Love for people made Jesus to lay down his life for the world. John chapter 15 verse 13. John chapter 15 verse 13. He said, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. He called us his friends. Galatians chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Galatians chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. He said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself, that's voluntarily, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave himself willingly, voluntarily. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 6. Love for people. Concerning Jesus, the Bible said he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself. He gave himself. Love for us drove the Father. Love for people sent Jesus to the cross. Love for people made Paul the apostle literally curse himself for the sake of souls. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory about, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. May I be cursed if I don't win souls. If I don't talk to people, a curse be on my life. Wow. Have you seen that before? What will love for soul do for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14. This is what love for soul will do for you. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. When you love people, you are compelled. When you love people, you are impelled. You are propelled. Compelled, impelled, propelled. You are driven. When you love people. Love for people is what drives us. We are in Gombe tomorrow preaching. The next day in the morning, we will be preaching in the morning, dedicating our church, and also preaching at the Believers Conference, talking about soul winning, the kind of things I'm talking about now for the Redeemed Christian Church of God, that the GOs and a celebration preparation. From there, we fly straight to Lagos for the Lagos Apostolic Invasion and Worship and Wonders Night, Friday night tomorrow. Win souls, do all that. Saturday we are back. Likely we might be out on Saturday evening for evangelism and be back here on Sunday. Is it because you are so strong and you want to prove you have power? No. Love for God. It compels. It propels. It impels. While we have time, we strike the iron. While there is time. Am I talking to somebody here? We make sense on time because we don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. We don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. You know, I told you the story before, but this is a very good time for you to understand the story. When I was asked to pick Evangelist Ryan Bunke, you've heard the story plenty of times, from the Abuja airport here, take him to Makurdi for the crusade. Makurdi, chairman of the protocol committee of the crusade at that time, happened to be my sister, Evangelist in Makurdi. And she said, can you help me pick Ryan Bunke from the airport for me and bring him to Makurdi, and I will help you. You are the one helping me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. We picked him, lodged him at the Abuja Charity Hotel, where he decided to pass one night before proceeding. And then the next day, I went to meet him, greeted him, gave him a little offering in an envelope, and then gave him a little gift of a watch so that I can be on time as he is on time. And then I said, can you pray for me, sir? He laid his hands on me. And he prayed the prayer that I have never heard before then. He said, Father, whatever made you to send your son to go and die for the world, put a little of it in his heart. Anything you felt for the world, that is the reason why you decided that your son should go and die, give him a little of it. He said, Jesus, whatever you felt for the world while you hung on the cross dying, place a little of it in his heart. It has to be a little, because if you place all of it, you will die. No man can carry the burden that God is carrying. It has to be a little. It has to be only what man can carry and survive. When that has happened,
they were on their way to Makurdi. I went and laid on that bed, interceded and prayed 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, continued sleeping, woke up. I had drastic encounters overnight. Revelation encounters. Powerful. And every devil in hell knows from that day till eternity, something shifted. Something. I had passion for souls before, but it shifted levels. I saw the miraculous before, but there were dimensions that were limited that just exploded. Am I communicating? After our crusade last year, in Team Jalingo and Lokoja, I sent the clips to Bonke's crusade director. And when he watched the clips, he said, this is exactly to him like Bonke's crusade. He said, he's happy that even though Bonke is dead, the spirit of mass evangelism has not died from Africa. That was the word he said. Even though Bonke is gone, I am happy that the spirit of mass evangelism has not left Africa and it will not leave. Am I communicating? That burden, that passion, that is a prayer to pray. Father, anything you felt that made you to give your son to die for the world, give me a measure of it. Jesus, the love you felt for the world, what was on your heart, what you were thinking that made you to agree to die for the world, place a little of it in my heart. Can you pray that prayer 1 minute? Father, place a measure of your bad burden in my heart, a measure of your passion, a little measure of your burden, a little measure of your passion, a little measure, place in my heart. Open your mouth and tell God, place it in my heart. Liketeke bagadagalaya hazadia, repataso hapanina galayatase, a little measure of that burden. I receive a measure of it. I receive a measure of it. I receive a measure of it. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' precious name. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What is number 3? First is passion for God. 2 is passion for souls or love for souls or love for people. Number 3 is living for the kingdom. When a man, a woman has defined the reason why he is alive, and that reason is for God. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. The Bible said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, for me, the meaning of life is for Christ. That is, life is not fit to be lived if it is not lived for Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Living for God is living for good. Living for self is a life wasted forever. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. Look at what scripture says. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He died for them and rose again. He died for them and rose again. So, he died for us so we can live for him. That is what that scripture is saying. Read it again. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Beloved, there are three categories of people as far as living life is concerned. Can I give you the categories? Number one, those who live for the devil. They live for the devil. These ones are instruments in the hands of the devil. I'm not talking of they are sinners. It's beyond being sinners. These ones are instruments in the hands of Satan. They facilitate the agenda of the devil on the earth. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. That is their agenda. In this category, you have very terrible occultists, grandmasters. They have seen Satan. Satan has seen them. They know each other. These are people who are on earth and they know why they are on earth. They want to see how many they can channel to hell. This is the group of ritual killers. They are satanic, demonic, full of demons, trading in human spare parts. Some categories of bandits, terrorists, kidnappers. These are witches and wizards. I heard the story of a woman who is stronger than all witches in her community because she draws her power from the grave of her children. Do you understand? These are people that are sold out to the devil. Now, they serve the devil with impunity. They serve the devil boldly. And there are those who serve Jesus timidly. Those who live for the devil. Number two are those who live for themselves. The people who live for themselves are those who are focused on themselves and focused on the things of the earth solely. Solely. All the things that will come to pass one day. What to eat, what to drink, what to wear, what to drive, the things that will make them happy on the earth. Everything about their life is summarized on the earth. There is no eternal deposits. There is no eternity in mind. There is nothing like when I die, this is the reward I am expecting. When I leave this world, I am expecting this reward from God. Because this was what I did with my life in the earth. There is nothing like that in the agenda. You know the way an animal wakes up in the morning, looks for what to eat, and then it just dies suddenly and there is no consequence. That's how these kind of people live. And unfortunately, there are many in church like that. They are not in church to work for God or to do anything or to in fact worship God or anything. They are there to for one prayer request or the other. And when you say lift up your hands and let us worship God, they are lifting up a prayer request. They are lifting up a picture of somebody they want to pray for. They are not interested in anything about. It's just what can we get? And I was talking to some people the other day. I said, when we came to the Lord in the 70s and early 80s, we didn't know that there was a benefit in serving God. The only thing we knew was that God created you and you must serve him. I mean, you must serve him. You must serve him. He's the one. You don't have the right over your life. You must serve God. And you must do it well so that you can go to heaven and not hell. That I serve God, I will get money out of it was not in the equation. I will get a good wife, but it wasn't part of it. It was later on that we discovered that you shall serve the Lord your God and he shall bless your bread and your water. We didn't know and it didn't matter. Am I communicating? Today, it is that one that brought many people to church. The things that accompany the gospel, the things that you want to get out of it.
So somebody sees a pastor and he sees him driving a good car or something, and he feels that that is what ministry is all about. He can't get a job, so let him become a pastor. I told you the story of a so-called pastor before who approached a pastor in one of our locations that he wants to sell the church. The church building, he wants to sell it. Why? Because he got a car on credit and he couldn't pay for the car. So he wants to sell the church to pay for the car. So our pastor asked him, I said, so what would you do with, what will happen to the members? He said, can't you people carry them? That is a hireling. That is an armed robber. That is a rogue. Members, human beings, they carry them. The eternal destinies. Do you understand? These are people who live for themselves. Eternity is not in the equation. Kingdom does not matter. Investment on the other side does not matter. From almost 30 years ago, I began to calculate when, if I step into heaven, the number of souls that were there before me, that I led to Christ, who went there ahead of me, who will come to the entrance and say, welcome, Papa, welcome, sir, welcome. I am here because of you. Oh yes, it happened to me when he said, about 74-year-old man, I was a medical student then, and the man sent his son to call me to pray for him. He said, let him come and pray for me. So I went there, and then the first thing that I did, it was, I think, a liver condition or something. I led him to Christ. I preached to him, led him to Christ, and then he did something like, thank you, my son, for giving me the peace I have never had. Thank you. I'm grateful. Next thing I heard, he slept overnight. He was gone. I had no cry to cry because I was excited. I was excited because he was dying in old age. I was excited because he was at the junction of eternity. He could have gone left and God sent me and he went right. And in my heart, I say, Lord, that is one of the first fruits who has gone ahead to wait for me. There are many who have nothing to look forward to. No eternity. That's why most rich men don't want to die. Because their investment is on the earth. Most billionaires don't want to die. Millionaires don't want to die. Politicians don't want to die. Everything about their life is centered on the earth. So if they go, it is cool. In fact, they have billions that nobody is aware where it is. Apart from only them. Even their wife doesn't know where their money is. So how can they just die like that? Swiss banks and European banks have eaten a lot of our money. American banks. Monies of thieves who went to keep money somewhere. And they try to take it where nobody can steal it, even though they stole it themselves. Am I communicating? These are those who live for themselves. Question you want to ask yourself, I am aware that 99% of people here today, I'm not sure you are living for the devil. Otherwise, you won't be here. Except those that the devil sent to go and kill themselves. As agents, go after that church, go after that man, to go and kill themselves. You saw the bird that was trying to fly into the place here on Sunday. It was just flying and just dropped. No hand touched it. No stone stoned it. It came into an atmosphere. A no-fly zone. Except such. I am not sure that there's many people here who can say, I'm living for the devil. I'm
But the question is, are you living fast? See his face. He dropped. The human personality connected to the bed is somewhere now. Somewhere now. Regretting the day he was created. Take your seat. That is those who live for the devil. There are those who live for themselves. And finally, there are those who live for the kingdom. That is, for to me to live is Christ. These are those whose lives revolve around God. Their lives revolve around the kingdom. Their lives revolve around God. Their lives revolve around the kingdom. These are the people who seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Their lives revolve around the kingdom. These are people whose target is kingdom enlargement, kingdom expansion, kingdom enhancement. These are people who decided not to live their generation the way they met it. Their lives revolve around God, around the kingdom. If they are making money, they have kingdom at the back of their mind. If they have influence over people, they have kingdom at the back of their mind. Let me tell you, when I was going to the university, to medical school, I entered an agreement with God. And I said, Lord, I am entering the university to study medicine. And that is no big deal. That's no big deal. I won't be the first medical doctor, neither will I be the last. So there is no big deal. What is the big deal is that the medical school has given me a platform to freely preach to everybody there. You know what I said? Lord, help me not to fail any exam. And I will assure you that I will preach and fulfill ministry there brutally, aggressively. It was a sealed deal. So I went into that sphere, not like a regular medical student with a regular medical student's mind and the medical studentitis. I went in there. So from my second year, now I began to pray hours at a time in the morning before going to class, like 3 hours before going for the 8 a.m. class, and then pray another 1 hour in the afternoon in the break period. One of those break periods, I was behind the physiology laboratory, studying, pacing back and forth and praying. And a young man who came there saw me, and I began to share some little scripture. Because when you are on fire, the only way for that fire not to implode you is to distribute it. Distribute, scatter it. So I dropped a little fire on that man. He exploded. Next time he came again, next time. So he said, you know what? What you are telling me is too much for only me. He said, I am the president of Medical Students Fellowship. Can you come and share this thing in the lighthouse? I said, with all pleasure. I followed him. By the time I finished talking, I was 200 level medical student. Fire was everywhere. I didn't touch anybody. People were on the floor. What you are seeing today started. People were on the floor. My wife then, Sister Becky, with her thick eyeglasses like Coca-Cola bottle. That was what she was wearing at that time. Was in the congregation. All of them opened their mouth wondering, where is this one from? They were asking each other, which guest minister is this? From what ministry? Because he didn't come like a student. And the things I was talking was not a kindergarten talk. That was how that fire exploded at that time. And if you found me in the morning before in front of student hostels, it was preaching. In front of hostels, inside the bus, it was preaching. Inside taxis, it was preaching. After I preached from the hostel to the classroom place in the lecture area, and the people inside the taxi say, the driver say, they are saying, how much is the fare? I say, you all don't bother. I will pay the fare for you. That is, I finished talking to you, I paid your airfare. As a student, yes. One of them told my secretary the other day, say, what you have seen now didn't happen, start today. He said, you will preach to us and still pay our transport fare. Am I communicating? Everything required. There was a place students went to read. I didn't go to read there, was especially medical students. It was as if there is an unwritten law. If you don't go there to read, you can't pass. That is, you sit there night till morning. I could read night till morning, but my reading pattern was different. My reading pattern is such that I'm seated reading, deep worship is playing. I won't be able to do that there. Hosanna Integrity, Bob Fitz, Des Moines, W. Fitz, all manner is playing. And then when I have read for about 3 hours, I broke into tongues. When I finished that, I dip back into the book again. So I said, I can't organize my quiet time there. Those who came here for the purpose of only book can go there. My own is book plus. One young man, medical school, he was the class ahead of me. And when this, and when in the same setting at one time, and I would pray for hours. He said, oh boy, is it Bible school you came or medical school? I told him, I said, both. He said, take it easy. The place tough. He repeated and joined my class. I went forward. He failed and was withdrawn. Kept going. It really tough for him. It really tough for him. I mean, he was very concerned. But I had an agreement before I came. I am not saying this to impress nobody. I'm saying me to show you how to robe your life around kingdom. Don't just make money like unbeliever money makers. Let kingdom be central to it. Don't just occupy an office with the mentality of I am now a director. How many people have you directed to the kingdom as a director? How many people, as a director, you have many people who will answer sa to you. You have many people that you have influence over. How many have you been able to direct to the kingdom in your capacity as a director? That's what matters. In my short practice of medical school, medical doctor practice, I made up my mind that my consulting table was also a pulpit. By the time we finish the medical stuff, I say, so how are you doing? How is your life? What's your relationship with God? Heaven is real, hell is real, you know? And I want to ensure that you don't go to hell. I'm your doctor, I should tell you the truth. I've told you the physical one, this is eternal one, it's more important. I'd like you to make your way right with Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I led them to Christ. Not one, not two, not three. I saw one girl here that I led to Christ at the consulting table in the teaching hospital. I was just a houseman, house officer. And then, with our big consultant, and this young lady came, she had done like 12 abortions. She had one fallopian tube gone from ectopic pregnancy. She had endometrial synecdoche, which means that the uterine cavity was not there anymore. It had healed together from numerous D&Cs. She had very florid candidiasis. Terrible situation.
And I looked at her, I said, see how you wasted your life in a hurry. I want you to give your life to Jesus. You say, is there any hope for me still? I said, there is hope for you in God. I led her to Christ right there at the clinic. And then afterwards, I returned back to the university to preach some years later. I saw her in the fellowship. And I said, are you this? She gave her life to Christ. Since that time, she has not looked back. I said, congratulations, I'm happy for you. One day we were in area one church and I was preaching and people came out of the altar call. It was after a night vigil. Newcomers come forward and people stood and I was shaking hands with people. And the lady saw me and they said, do you recognize me, sir? And I said, I don't. He said, you don't recognize me? I said, tell me. He said, you preached to me in the teaching hospital, in the outpatient clinic of gynecology. Wow! Tell me more. He said, I've come here. I'm in the law school now. So I came from the law school to attend service here. Wow! He said, I have married. Wow! He said, and I also have a son. Service has ended. I said, everybody wait! It was at the end of the service. Everybody wait! Everybody wait! If this woman can give birth to a child, anybody can give birth to a child. Hey! I am sure there may be some people here who may remember that all night. If this woman can give birth, you remember, if this woman can give birth to a child, everybody can give birth to a child. Because I knew her story. Every detail, there was no way that one kidney was already going too. Everything was wrong with our system. Hallelujah. And how do you think I would feel if I left that night vigil on my way home? Oh Lord, I have not wasted my life. I have not wasted my time. Many of us have wasted so much opportunity. People God brought your way, you let them go and then they went to hell. You wasted too much opportunity. Living for God means every single opportunity has kingdom consideration. Take your seat. It has kingdom consideration. There is something about the kingdom that you are considering. Your work, there is kingdom consideration. Your financial conquest, there is kingdom consideration. Everything you do, there is kingdom in consideration. And please, don't forget this. When you live for yourself, you live at a loss. But when you live for God, you live for gain. Was that not what Paul said? When you live for yourself, you live at a loss. When you live for God, you live for gain, both in this world and in the world to come. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, it says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live for self is to live at a loss. To live for God is to live for gain. One woman was telling us with Dr. Mrs. Becky and Angel the other day, I think she trusted God for about 5 to 7 years before she gave birth to her first child. And after that, child is 6 to 7 years without any other child. And then God visited her again. You know what she said? She said, she remembered that evangelism gave her the first result of pregnancy. So after she had waited for a while, I said, oh, before I got pregnant, when the devil was trying to delay her, she went brutally to work for God. She remembered and went again. Bam! The yoke was broken again. To live. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is why you see some people, they don't care for anything. Their roommate is a smoker, a drunkard, everything. They have not one day said, come to church. Or say, consider your life. Their brother, their sister, their loved ones. Because their whole life is centered around this earth. Centered around themselves. There is no centering of the life on eternity. But beloved, it is what you do for heaven that will wait for you when you step out of time into eternity.
That is what will wait for you. I have so many points to mention tonight, but our time is gone. I will only mention the fourth point. We'll continue next week, Wednesday. See, so if you want to be prepared as a soul winner, first of all, there must be passion for God, love for people. Number three, you must live for the kingdom. And number four is the influence of the Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit. Walking with the Spirit of God and praying in the Spirit is very critical for soul winning. Walking with the Spirit, praying with the Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Three things. One, or more than three. Actually, I'm meant to take a course on the Holy Spirit and evangelism. That may come later. But let's just take this for this moment. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses for God. That is the power to witness. The power to be able to talk to people is imparted. The power that is the Holy Ghost empowers your witnessing. That is number one. Number two, the Holy Ghost imparts us with the boldness to function in life. The boldness. Generally, boldness. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. He said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power or boldness, of love, and of a sound mind. The Spirit of God gives you the boldness. One of the greatest challenges of people is that I'm not bold enough to talk to people. I don't know how to talk to people. When you carry the Holy Spirit, the real Spirit of God, audacity is there. You know, when I grew up as a young man, even though on the inside there was this ruggedness somewhere there, but externally there was some level of timidity for one reason or the other. Maybe because of childhood upbringing experiences here and there. And even right in the university in those days, in the secondary school, they made me the secretary of a particular club. And addressing people at one time was an issue. Do you understand? I remember when was it a principal or something? I knew that there was an issue there. But when the Spirit of God came and the power landed, if you want to test the power, you gather some group of demons. And then you'll find out from them how they felt at the end of the instruction. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit gives us the boldness. And then number three, the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Love in our hearts. We just read now that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love. Love. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. Romans chapter 5 verse 5, he said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Our hearts are saturated, percolated, infiltrated, animated. Saturated with the love of God. That is the more you talk like that, the more you distribute love in your heart. Love for God, love for people. All of a sudden you are on fire for God effortlessly. You are passionate for God. Passionate for the things that bother people. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Love for God and love for people is made to flood our hearts. I think I'll stop here for tonight so that you can pray for 3 minutes, take the communion, and then next week we'll continue. Is anybody receiving anything on primitive evangelism? primitive Christianity, the ancient type, that one that gives you result that no devil can take. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand and just go ahead and give him the praise. And I'd like you to begin to just pray in the spirit. Talk in tongues like those ancient men used to say. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit. Open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Alright, can we all stand up on our feet? You can take the back up and just open your mouth and let us pray. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit.
I'll come running after you. I'll come running after you.
In Jesus' precious name, lift up your hands everywhere you say, Father, I have come before you tonight. I ask that you place in my heart passion. Fresh passion for you. Place in my heart today. Passion for souls. Say, Father, what you felt for human beings that made you to send your son, Jesus Christ, to die for the world. Place a little of it in my heart. Say, Jesus, what you felt for the world that made you to give yourself on the cross of Calvary for human beings. Place a little of it in my heart. Say, Father, I receive the grace to live for you, not for myself. I receive the grace to live for you. In the name of Jesus, say, Holy Spirit, take your place in my life. Empower me for soul winning. Embolden me for soul winning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Take your place in my life now. Open your mouth and praise. Share that, bro. The Lord of God in heaven.
You all alone. of my heart. Is all your will, O Lord. To Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift your hands. As we take this communion tonight, it shall be the communication of the passion and the compassion that led the master to the cross. What he felt flows in his blood, and the portion of that feeling shall come to us tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And wherever you are tonight, even though we have preached on soul winning, probably God was talking to you as that soul that must be won here tonight. And you are saying, Pastor, I haven't seen it like this before. I want to make my way right. Maybe you've been coming to church all this while, but you have not genuinely handed over your life to Jesus. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly step forward. Let my spirit lead you alone. You. I'll give you the count of seven. One. Two. Three.
Sing you alone. Three. Four. Five. Six. Oh, my heart. And seven. Turn alone to all. Sing you alone. Let my spirit.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. You are bound by an addiction, bound by a lifestyle. Drinking, smoking, womanizing, prostitution, lying, cheating, duping, gambling, 419, fraud of any sort. And you want to make your ways right with Jesus today. Quickly rush forward.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, I live for you.
One. Quickly come forward. Two.
Have your way. Have your way.
Two. Three. Everybody sing, Lord, I give you my heart. Four. Five. And seven.
I give you my soul.
I live for you, my Lord.
I live for you.
Every moment of my will.
Have your will.
Place your right hand on your chest. Those of you in the front, and say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder, Lord Jesus. I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive that grace. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. I pray for all of you. I declare the hold of sin broken of you in Jesus' precious name. Counselors, please take them. I'm sure you have enough seats over here. Let them have their seats there. While the communion officers take their position, we pray upon this communion one more time. If there is any affliction or disease in your body, I declare them flushed out by the body of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Whatever my Father in heaven has not planted in your life shall be flushed out now. I call it done in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat.